While they're finishing up receiving our tithes and offerings this morning, let me just kind of bring everybody up to speed. Last week, we started a series, a sermon series called Grow. And I believe it's probably going to be the most important sermon series of 2017. I believe how God has shared with us to unfold this series and how we're going to stay put and not try to rush and get from one place to another. So if you say, Pastor, I missed last Sunday, what happened? Well, we talked about the soil of our heart. It's a parable in Matthew chapter 13. And I'm going to ask if they'll put that slide up on the screen so you can kind of understand where we left off last week. Last week, we talked about this parable. And in this parable, it has four types of soil. It has, you know, the path or hard ground. And then it has stony ground. And then it has thorny ground. And then it has good ground. And a lot of times we have taken this teaching of Jesus and we said, well, some people are good ground and some people are stony ground and some people are hard path and some people are just thorns. And that may be true. But you know what I found and what we indicated last week is that there's a good portion of my heart that's good, but there's areas where the Holy Spirit reveals to me in my walk of faith that, hey, Dave, this ground's getting hard. Hey, Dave, there's some weeds growing over here in this area of your life. And so for the first time in nearly 25 years of ministry, Michelle and I got to speak on the same day. And she got to give a testimony, and I'm going to bring you up to speed on her testimony if you missed it, because she did an incredible job. As she was talking about a period of time over our 25 years of ministry where we had a gentleman that become kind of hostile towards our family. And he said some mean things and some hurtful things. And it was a period of about 2 or 3 weeks. And those hurtful things, they really penetrated Michelle's good heart. Now let me go forth and say this right now. First and foremost, I believe Michelle is far more saved than I am. She is soft-spoken. She is sweet-spirited. She is incredible. And, you know, but even in a heart like hers, the Holy Spirit said, you know what, there's some weeds growing over here of unforgiveness. And this person had said some mean things, and they had come to a place where leadership had kind of corrected them, and you know, they said they were sorry. And Michelle, out of her own mouth last week in front of all of this congregation, said, you know what? I really don't think that I really forgave them when they said they were sorry because I didn't really feel they deserved it. And so there was some stipulations attached to her forgiveness, and God started to make her aware of those things. Aren't we glad that God doesn't forgive us that way? That we have to deserve forgiveness before we get it? And so God was really revealing some things in her heart. Well, to speed the testimony up just a little bit, she really had some hardness starting to happen in her heart. And literally, she said last week that if she saw this person, she would go the other way just to avoid contact. And all of a sudden, we had one of those services that could have happened today right there. I could have, you know, I was 1 inch away from just calling everybody to the baptismal pool and say, let's all get baptized today. You know, but it was at one of those moments where praise and worship started, the Spirit of God started to move, and I really didn't feel like it was appropriate for me to follow what God was doing at that moment with a sermon. So I went to the podium and invited people to the altar to experience the presence of God, and the altar's filled up with hundreds of people. And there was a time where Michelle and the worship team continued to worship, and as those the crowd started to diminish from the front, there was a lady that come up kind of late and she needed prayer. And I told Michelle, I said, Michelle, go pray with her. And she went and prayed with her. Well, while this was happening, this gentleman had moved out of his seat and was kind of located on this side of the sanctuary, not this sanctuary, but this side of a sanctuary. And when she said amen and opened up her eyes, there he was standing alone. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to go over, tell him you love him and you forgive him. And pray with him. Well, here's the confusion that's starting to happen in her mind. She says, well, God, that's a lie. Because I don't know that I've forgiven him. And my love is in question for him. But based upon you telling me and me knowing that I have to trust you, I'm going to go do an act of obedience exactly like you told me. And she went over there and she told the person that she loved them and she prayed with them and she forgave them. And she said, when they said amen, it wasn't lightning and thunder, but she could feel the burden of unforgiveness start to leave. And all of a sudden, she's free. Well, that's just what happened last week when we identified those four soils. But there's much, much more to the parable and the story of these four soils. So if you've got your Bibles with you, you can turn to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to read a few scriptures and you can follow it up there on the screen as well. And the Bible reads, that same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him so that they got into the boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. And other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, and since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. And other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. And other seeds fell on good ground, good soil, and produced grain, and some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Let's look at verse 18 and 19, the last two that we're going to look at, because Jesus kind of gives the interpretation. It says, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. Let's pray. Father, again, I ask you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be with us as we preach your word. I ask you for the authority of the Holy Spirit to now take your word and plant it deep into our hearts. Allow the planting of that seed to go so deep that it causes a harvest of change beginning in me. And that, Father, that all of us can experience that change in our lives as you become real to us. And I give you the praise and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Now, the first thing I want you to understand is that this is the first time that Jesus teaches differently. So we never have to get committed to a method as much as the message, because Jesus did it multiple different ways. He proclaimed the gospel in multiple different ways. And so many times Christians get so concerned and focused on the method instead of the message. And churches split and denominations start and other denominations start and all of these things over methods instead of message. Can you imagine if we took that principle just by the way that Jesus healed blindness in Scripture? In one place, he laid his hands on them and immediately the blind received their sight. In another place, you know, and so if Jesus now has to go and heal everybody the same way, if we're going to get committed to method instead of message. But we find a few more scriptures later, he's healing a blind man and he's spitting in his eye. So now we'd have the spit in the eye church that would spring up, because that's the only way now. That's the new revelation of God. The old revelation was him just touching them. And then all of a sudden he don't spit on their eyes anymore. Now he spits on the ground. And now we got a spit on the ground church that makes mud and puts mud in people's eye. Aren't you glad we are not the mud in people's eye church? Sure. But that's just the point that I'm making. It's not about the method. It's more about the message. And for the first time, Jesus is changing it up. And he's telling a story. And in this story, it's called a parable. And the two Greek words for parable literally mean, as they are interpreted, to throw alongside of one another. So he's taking a known truth. He is in a community where farming is something that is consistent in their lives. And he's taking a known principle of farming and he's throwing it alongside of something that they don't know, an unknown truth of how people receive the Word of God. And so all of a sudden, he's taking this scripture and he's taking it and throwing it alongside. And they know how to farm because they're farmers. And he's going to bring revelation through the analogy or illustration of farming, now how people's hearts receive the word. Well, last week we started out by identifying that the word of God, according to Jesus' interpretation, is the seed. So the seed is the thing that's going in all four grounds. And do you know what? It's only one kind of seed, the best seed. So if there's a problem with a harvest, and we know that in the story, three of those grounds do not produce any harvest. And so a lot of times we'll take a principle like that, and three grounds didn't produce harvest, and we want to say it was a problem with the seed. No, the seed was the same seed that went into good ground. The problem's not the seed, it's the soil. And the soil in the scripture was the conditions of man's heart. And all of a sudden now, we have no potential inside of us to produce harvest on our own, absent of the seed. So the seed is what has the harvest potential, but God facilitates the harvest through the soil. We're going to learn that a little bit more in weeks to come. So the problem is never God, it's us. And so when we take the responsibility of finding out, well, God, your word declares I should be experiencing this type of harvest in my life, but I look in the mirror and I don't experience that. And I'm wondering, what's the problem? Are you just forgetting what you said, or is it me? And those moments in my life where I've had that encounter with God the Holy Spirit, and God the Holy Spirit has revealed to me, Dave, there's some issues going on in your life and you're not experiencing. I'm like, God, why haven't you showed up? He's like, Dave, it's not me. I'm here. It's you. Have you ever had one of those moments, just with a practical analogy? Let me throw a parable out there. How many guys, since it's almost Father's Day, have been revealed that we have blind spots in our vision when it comes to searching for our shoes, our clothes, or our ties, or our shirts? And we can go in there and you know, you kind of get irritated a little bit when your wife looks at you and goes, have you looked in the closet? No, that's a secret. I don't look for clothes in there. And all of us kind of get mad and go, yeah, I've looked in the closet. It's not there. Michelle's got some hookup with God that when that happens and she goes into the closet, he puts it there and she just walks right in there. And I'm like, sometimes I go with her just to prove it. Like, I told you it wasn't in there. And she goes, oh, here it is. And I'm like, God put that there. It was not there 5 minutes ago. But how many of you know that just with that analogy, that sometimes our revelation of blind spots is not because the shirt's not in the closet. It's because we didn't look properly. Amen? So all of a sudden, the Bible starts to teach that there were seeds. Jesus, being the sower, starts to sow seed on good ground. And next to the good ground, in close proximity to the good ground, is a path that goes around the field. And this path is where the animals and the people that work in the field walk. And it gets packed down. Today, it is where the tractors turn around. But it becomes so packed and compressed that when the seed got thrown over there on the path, it just sit on top. We've got a slide that kind of shows you what we're talking about. There's that the preciousness of that seed. And it's just sitting on top of the earth. It's just sitting on top of the ground. And all of a sudden, we have the principles of teaching. Jesus starts to preach, and he starts to teach, and he says, you know what? There's people that their heart has areas in it that are so hard that when the Word of God comes, they hear it, but they have no understanding of it, and it puts it in a position where the birds can come and eat it. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but the Bible says this when we go into the scripture. In verse 3 and 4, it says, and he told many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell among the path, and the birds came and devoured them. The path, like I said, is that hard place. So some seed gets sown into an area that is hard, right next to the place where it's good. And so all of a sudden you've got this big field, but around it is the path where people walk, and the animals are walked by the people, and it just gets so hard that the seed just hits it, skids over right near good ground, and just sits on top. How many of us have let the Word of God touch our lives? We've heard it, but we never let it penetrate. Like those hard things in the Bible, like love your enemy. You know, nobody really wants to sign up for that. Hey, where's the love your enemy small group? I'm not even signing up for that. But when going back to Michelle's testimony, what really become revelation to her is when God started to take the impact of his word that she had left on the surface and knew the results and the consequences of that word. When he took her to that passage in the gospel that said, hey, I cannot forgive you if you don't forgive others. Now, I know that I pastor the greatest church in the world, and most of you are perfect, and you don't have to pray the way that I pray, but since I got saved, almost on a daily basis, I have to ask God to forgive me. And so I need the path of forgiveness opened wide, because I need a lot of grace and forgiveness because of the things that enter into my mind and into my heart. And sometimes I fall short. And people like Michelle, I don't even know that they need to say that much about forgiveness. But God was even revealing to her, I can't forgive you if you don't forgive them. And when we hear that, sometimes it just stays on the surface and we pretend we didn't hear it. Like, I'm special. God loves me more. He knows what they did. He knows why I can't forgive them. And so I asked Michelle an important question. I said, who pulled the weed? Because isn't that what we do when we have a scripture that we don't want to really live out? We put it back on God. Okay, God, you know it's there. Just remove it. And she said, I said, what would have happened if you had just prayed, God, you just make the unforgiveness go away? It would have stayed in her heart. It would have turned, unforgiveness would have turned into bitterness, and that bitterness would have prevented her from being able to reap a harvest in her life. And she explained it this way. She said, the Holy Spirit revealed the location of the weed. Let's use this Kleenex box as the location. And God waited for me to put forth my faith into action by grabbing hold of the weed with my own hand. But when I started to pull, I realized I didn't have enough strength to pull it on my own. So God the Father put His hand on my hand and allowed me to have the strength to pull it out. And what she was saying is, David, if I would have never went over there and put my hand on the weed, I would have been praying for God to remove something He said, I've already empowered you to do, but you got to put your hand on it first. And so all of a sudden, this word of God, see, it's not enough, and this is one of the things that I have to preach to you for just a moment. It's not enough to hear the word of God. You've got to hear it and understand it. And so when you don't understand it, you can't have a harvest. And yet we get frustrated when we don't see God's word doing what it needs to do or it says it can do. James says it this way in James 1, 22 through 25. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forget what he looks like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in the things he is doing. See, the key here is not to turn the gospel into a works mentality. Because the issue here, a lot of times when this gets taught, here's the issue. We see that this is how it goes. Seed gets on hard ground, it sits on the top, it doesn't penetrate, and the birds come and eat it. And Jesus, when he interprets this parable, says, the devil's the birds. And so we go into anti-bird mode. Well, let me find out how to get rid of the birds. The birds aren't the problem. It's the position of the seed. Because the birds lived in the area where all the seed was sown, but they could only eat one, the one that was on top. So we go in trying to find the devil under every rock. We go and look for all of the birds. Where's the birds coming to steal my harvest? No, the problem with the stealing of the harvest is the position of the seed isn't in the ground. It's on the surface. I say it this way to our second service. You hear me say it all the time. How many times do we try to bend the Bible to fit our lives instead of bending our lives to fit the Bible? So, Jesus says the reason that the seed is on top of the soil is not because you don't hear it. It's because you hear it and don't understand it. Now, I'm going to be vulnerable for a moment. City Gate, like I said, I think I pastor one of the greatest churches in the world. And we do a great job, and I'm a great pastor when it comes to this point. Inspiration. I can move. You know, I don't move them. The Holy Spirit moves them through the conveying of the gospel. I just get to participate in that. But there's not a single week that goes by that somebody doesn't receive Christ or recommit their life to Christ on a weekly basis here. So we see inspiration all the time. But we don't see a lot of harvest because we don't take the necessary time to bring understanding to the inspiration. So we can get you to the altar, but I think God is calling Citygate to a new season that we not only get you to the altar and get you right with God, but we teach you the power of understanding God's Word that will produce a harvest in your life. Understanding is hard work. It comes with responsibility on both sides. See, I can't put a want to in you. That has to come from you. What is important about understanding? Because when you don't understand God, you become so frustrated and vulnerable. How many times have you tried this thing and it seems like the birds just come and pick it and pick it, and finally you just say, there's no use, man. Every time I hear it, I don't understand it. It stays on the surface. The birds come and eat the stuff I'm supposed to be harvesting. What's the use? The birds are coming. Let me give you a principle that most people don't understand. And I'm going to teach on it probably in weeks to come a little more. But when I say the words, the principle of sowing and reaping, immediately if there's people that have been to church a lot in their life, they have been told that that is connected to finances. That if you sow, you reap. Hey, it's a biblical principle, but it's not restrained to finances. It's about every part of your life. Here's another one that's going to bring you some revelation. And if you're here kind of on the fence today, here's where you're going to start liking me a little bit, because I'll tell the truth. Everything don't go away because you pray. Because if that happened, Jesus could not fulfill the principle that he set, that said, God shall not be mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. And if he just dissolved it and it went invisible, you say, well, Pastor, give me a practical example of sowing and reaping. Okay. Now, this is a made-up story. This is not real. It is not factual. It is fiction. But I'm going to use me as a character and Michelle as a character in this story. So this is absolutely untrue. It's just to make a point. It's a parable. Everybody with me? Say amen. Amen. We're 18, 19 years old. We can't even hardly stand to be apart from one another. She is so beautiful. And we start to date. That dating starts to get serious, and we find ourselves in an unchaperoned position with two kids with their hormones going crazy, and we're in the back seat of a car just letting passion become passion. Tuesday comes, and Shell at 18 is calling David at 19. She's hysterically crying, and she says, guess what? We're pregnant. Dave wants to get close to Jesus. He says, let's go to the church and talk to the pastor. And so we got to find out how we're going to tell our parents and how we're going to tell our friends and what we're going to do about this whole situation. So me, now I'm crying. She's crying. We go to Pastor Dave, or Pastor so-and-so, Pastor Gray at Citygate. I threw him under the bus at the baptisms. I'll let him be Pastor Gray here. I'll let him be pastor of Citygate. And we go into his office. It's a big office and got a black couch. And we're sitting there. We're crying. We're carrying on. And we say, Pastor, Pastor Gray, we made such a mistake. And we knew we were doing wrong, but it overwhelmed us. And we got over and over our head. And we're pregnant. Pastor Gray gets up. He's dignified. He's compassionate. He's loving. He takes both of his arms and he puts them around us, and we kneel down at that big old black couch that's in his office, and we pray, and God resolves our disobedience. And you know what? He forgives us, and we no longer have any condemnation connected to the sin of our bad decisions. And then we get up and we say amen, and we're still pregnant. It happens other ways too, man. We have some, you know, y'all know that, you know, hey, I got a checkered past. And we got folks with the same kind of checkered past. And some of them I met in jail. And you ever notice that when people get arrested, they want to find Jesus? And so I get calls all the time, Pastor, can you come see me? I'm in jail. Yes, I can come see you. And I get there, and they're really sincere. And they're like, Pastor, I'm in a mess, man. I got to get to Jesus. And I'm like, okay, let's get to him. And what happened? I got in over my head. You know, I got some addiction issues, and I got some stuff going on. And I decided the best thing for me to do was go into the 7-Eleven. I said, give me all your stuff. And I got $37, a carton of cigarettes. And a six-pack of beer. And they caught me 45 minutes later. And I'm here. We pray. Let's say it's more than jailhouse religion. We pray, God forgives them instantly. But only one of us are going home today. Only one. Because that brother that just confessed his sins, God forgave him. But he's going to do some time. See, that's a principle that you have to understand. Because if you don't understand it, because you said the prayer, and sometimes you're taught that if you say the prayer, everything turns out rosy, and you get up, and you don't understand the principle, and you're still pregnant, you're forgiven, you're going to heaven, but you're still pregnant, and now somebody needs to come alongside of you and say, let's find out what it means to be a dad, because you're fixing to be one. And we got to have some understanding. If I can get Amy and them to come and get ready to sing for us. See, because when Jesus talks about understanding, he takes it all the way to the Great Commission. Let's look at Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always. Wouldn't it have been wonderful if Jesus would have called us to the Great Commission to go make believers? But he said, no, you got to go out and make disciples. And the difference between a believer and a disciple is you've got to teach them how to observe all that God commanded. You have to bring them understanding so the birds don't eat the seed. Wow, that's time consuming. That gets messy. All of a sudden now I have personal responsibility. One, I'm going to have to find the environments where teaching is going on. And you know what makes this series different? Is because next week I'd have went to a new ground. And I would have just brought you the inspiration and a hunger for understanding. But I'm not doing that this time. The next couple weeks we're going to bring you understanding of God's Word. Before we go to the next one, how do I get understanding? How do I take that principle like you talked about, Pastor, of sowing and reaping? How do I apply that into my life? What happens after I've made bad decisions? Okay, God's forgiven me, but He allows me the strength and enables me the strength to bring that bad seed to fruition. And then the harvest of those bad seeds is over, and He gives me a handful of good seeds that I'm allowed to put in now the ground. That used to be bad, and now it's going to be good, and it's going to bring forth a harvest. We're going to stay here. But before we go and let Amy sing, don't go on bird patrol. Don't blame the devil. It may be the position of the Word of God in your life. It may be the position of the seed that's making it vulnerable to the enemy. In this first part of the parable, the issue wasn't the birds. The issue was the vulnerability of the seeds. Because if the seeds weren't on top, the birds couldn't have seen them. And the birds couldn't have eaten them. And what pushes the seed from the top of the soil into the soil is understanding. So I wrote the conclusion this way. We need to examine our hearts. Where's the hard ground? And the bigger question is, what are we going to do about it when we find it? It's very frustrating when the seed is laying on top of the soil because the potential for harvest is so close, but we never experience it because of the current position of the seed. I could have the best corn seed in the world, I mean in the world, and throw it on this carpet, and I cannot expect next week to have corn. Because it's good seed, but just in the wrong place. How many people hear God's Word and they want to treat it like magic? Oh, this is going to make everything that I've messed up better. No, it's going to make you better because you're going to come into a relationship with a sovereign God that loved you beyond yourself. How many times do the birds take the seed before we give up? What would happen if we changed the condition of the soil? What makes it receptive to the Word of God? What potential harvest can we experience? Let's just say, just for the sake of argument, that all of us have an area in our life that is too hard. You know how to cure hard ground? Make it soft. Allow the plow of the Holy Spirit to start the process of digging into that hard spot. Well, Pastor, it hurts when God does that. Do you think He's really wanting to hurt you? Or is the pain for a purpose? To get you over it. Get you through it. And give you good seed to put back in it. We'd all be broke farmers if we tried to do a harvest without breaking up the ground. If we just went out there and threw it on top of the surface, because that requires little or no effort. But what would happen if we allow the processes and the principles of God's Word to go deep? Let's let Amy sing. Can I have our ministry team, if they would come up? You know, maybe you're here and you say, "Oh, Pastor, and I've heard about God, but I've really never let the Word of God penetrate my heart. Maybe today I want to start a relationship with Him that allows the seed to go beyond the surface of me knowing about Him and really understanding who He is, and allow the Word of God to become fruitful in my life." With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to talk for just a moment to those that may need to either rededicate their lives or get saved for the first time. First of all, we're not here to judge you. Matter of fact, all of us that consider ourselves saved was once in that position that you find yourself in. And I can only tell you, I'm not here to sell God like a salesperson. I'm here to just tell you a testimony that God's been the greatest thing that's ever happened to my life. And He changed me with the power of His gospel. And if you want to experience that today, we want to celebrate with you. So this is what I'm going to ask you to do. If you want to get saved today, nobody's looking around, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Your obligation is not going to stop with your hand raised. I'm going to identify that there's going to probably be more than you, so you can understand I'm not the only one coming. And then I'm going to ask for you to get out of your seats and make that declaration publicly. You say, "Pastor, I'm afraid. I don't want other people to know." Don't worry about that, because I promise you, the moment that you step out of your seat, this place is going to erupt in an ovation of applause, because we're giving God glory for what He's about to do in your life. So if you want to get saved today, would you just simply, nobody's looking but me, would you raise your hand? I see those hands. Thank you. There are several. I even see them up in the balcony. Now, I'm going to pray for God to give every person that just raised their hand the courage to, now you've done step one, but to do step two. I promise you, you were not the only one that raised your hand, so you will not be alone. So as we pray, just receive the strength. Father, right now, You have revealed the position of the seed in their lives, and now they have made a decision to take the hard ground of their heart and make it soft through the supernatural sovereignty of a God that has drawn them unto Himself. So, Father, today as we saw hands go up, I know Your eye saw them. I know that that was an act of faith. But, Father, I think that this is going to encourage them as they get the strength and You empower them with the courage to step out of their seats in just a moment. Father, when they do that, I want them to feel Your love. I want them to feel the weight of their sin and their guilt to go evaporate and go away, because no longer are they going to be held under condemnation, but they are going to be freed and liberated by the gift of salvation. So, Father, let that experience be something they never forget, in Jesus' name. And now, if you had your hand up, would you take the courage of which we just prayed about, and would you step out of your seat this morning and move forward? I know it's going to be a little scary, but if you will do it, I already see somebody moving. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Now, she wasn't the only one with her hand raised. You know, you don't have to even break the ice now. Somebody else has already done that for you. I want you to ask the person next to you. I want you to say, did you have your hand up? And if you did, I'll go with you. Ask them right now. All right. Does anyone want to come? Because we're going to celebrate with you as well. All right. Now with every eye opened and everybody looking around, because I'm going to be the first one with my hand raised. How many of you can probably safely say, I've got some hard areas of my heart that the Holy Spirit needs to deal with? I'm going to raise both of mine. Amen. Everybody. I don't know if we can get everybody up to the front. Let's celebrate right here of these ladies moving forward. Amen. For you that just raised your hand, if you need prayer, we're going to invite you. But let's pray together. Father, right now, I raised both of my hands because I know that through studying this message this week, you revealed to me that there were some hard areas in my heart that needed to be addressed. Father, I ask for the plow of the Holy Spirit and the authority of your word to now navigate those hard places. Father, I'm willing to change. I'm willing to allow your word to be brought to harvest in my life. Father, I know that those hard areas, sometimes I have excuses for them of why they're so hard. But Father, I lay those excuses aside because I don't want to take on the identity of that excuse. And I just want to just reveal it to you. So, Father, my hand was not the only one raised, but the hand of others were raised. So, Father, you know exactly the hard area of their life. And I ask you to touch that right now. And, Father, you're going to make them aware of whether they need to come forward and have prayer. Maybe it's a moment in an encounter with you that softens their heart right now. So, with everybody with their head bowed and their eyes still closed, if you were one of those persons that said, Pastor, I really feel moved to go forward and to allow the prayer. I'm saved, but I got some hard areas that I need to deal with. If you'll just step out, we want you to be able to move first. You can just step out and move into the aisle. Thank you. Now we're going to pray one more time with each other. And if you consider yourself dismissed, Amy and them are going to lead us in and a couple of courses of worship, and you can participate with that. But if you consider yourself dismissed, please use the back exits to allow these that are praying to have the reverence that is going to be required. Father, today, I thank you. Father, this is out of my home run cut. It's not that inspirational type of preaching today. But it is something that we need to be provided the understanding that keeps us protected from the birds that will try to devour the seed that is sitting on the surface. Father, again, the issue isn't the birds, it's the position of the seed. So allow the teaching to settle in the hearts of people today. And I give you the praise and honor for the harvest that is in our tomorrows. And I give you the praise and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. God bless you.